Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And this is the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast that we do two times a week for people who stab ground cloth.
Stabbing today, huh?
We are going to stab today.
I feel like stabbing.
Yeah, I'll bet you do. I'll bet you do. Okay, we're going to get to your reason for stabbing in just a minute because I have some questions for you. So, tonight, Robin Ann Rossignol will be joining us, and we'll get to look at her work. That was so much fun with Cindy's mom last week, and Robin will be with us this week. So we'll get to enjoy more projects. If you're interested in doing a show with us, happy to have you. It's easy to do and a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of always fun. Always fun meeting new stitchers from across the country. I mean, how are you going to meet these people? Unless you do meet John Fiber Talk.
And it's fun just to brag about your stuff, you know. You do good work.
Yeah.
Put it up on the screen and we brag about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ooh and ah. Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Yep. Sunday's guest. This is going to be a standout, I think, for us. Amongst the many, many good guests, Leslie Rinchen Wangmo will be our guest Sunday, and her new book, Threads of Awakening, which is available in August 23, I think it was, late August.
Yeah. But you can pre-order now.
Yes, wherever good books are sold.
Yeah,
this was, holy smokes. We could have done a two-hour show with her, I think, easily.
Yeah.
Leslie went to India some years ago and ended up through a series of events where the Tibetan people are in exile. And she learned through another series of events how to make Tibetan tankas. And that's do I have the spelling right? Tangkas.
Yes. Correct.
Tankas, like Tonka trucks, only tankas. And these they're basically puzzles of cloth that make these elaborate images. I mean, there are painters who do these things, but then there's even a smaller group of people who do these things with cloth, needle, and thread. Very high-end cloth, all sewn together, no ground cloth. This is all put together, much like you put a quilt together, right? And then...
Well, yeah, kind of, but it's different. Because normally you have layers, and these are kind of butted together. It's just a different process. It was fascinating.
Yeah.
To read the book and then to talk to her about it. And her story, we really didn't talk about how she got to India. So that's in the beginning of the book, which I found fascinating, the way she kind of wandered her way there. but then her story once she got there was just so, so interesting.
Yeah. So we had a good talk now, and she will be with us next Wednesday. So going to be one of those where we have the Sunday guest, and then the following Wednesday night on the Stitch Hour, she will join us. And so we'll get to see pictures of the tankas she's created, and then she's going to demonstrate some of the techniques for us, because one of the techniques is... When they edge each of the pieces that go together to make the images, the presentations, they edge them one way. The traditional way is to use horsehair and then wrap it in silk, and which is just mind blowing to me. And so she's going to demonstrate that for us, to show us how it gets done.
And I just can't wait, because I was just like, how do you do that?
I know.
I want to see this. I want to see a visual.
Yep. Yeah. From the book, it sounded like it took her quite a while to get proficient at it. But and horsehair, you know, we didn't get to this in the – it was talked about in the book. We didn't get to it in the interview. because they were talking about like one of the commodities is when horses die to get the tail, to buy the horse tail so you can get the long horse hairs for this stuff, which is last place I'd look for something to make. It's basically cording because then they couch it down. But yeah, you know, the whole thing of trading horse tails to get horse hairs kind of.
it was just different. It was like, okay.
Yeah. But, you know, and it really comes down to it's what they can get their hands on and what they can use to make these things. And the symbolism in these tankas is amazing. The whole Buddhism thing and how it all fits together is amazing. It's really a tremendous story. It really is.
It really is. And then there's we're Westerners, Christians, but there's this the common thread of needlework that's there, which I found, you know, just the how she made them. I found the whole process fascinating and her story of how she got to the point of making them. I enjoyed all of it. So it was just she's an interesting lady, and it was a great read. The book was, I read it all cover to cover.
I intended to skim it just time, you know, and I read the first part talks about how she got there. And okay, I read that because I was looking for a foundation, so I had enough knowledge so I could skim the rest of the book.
Right.
And then you kind of get to the middle of the book, and then there's a whole bunch of pages of pictures. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, good. Now I'm going to skim. And then I started reading the part about how she actually does all this and how she learned it. And the instructors and the women she worked with, read every word of it all the way through. Couldn't put it down then. It just locked me in. It was great.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely worth a read. Worth a read.
So that's a Sunday and next Wednesday. So we have Robin Rossignol on Wednesday, and then Sunday, Leslie Rinchen Wangmo will be our guest, talk about her book, Threads of Awakening, and all that she went through. And all that we covered, what, maybe 20% of what's in the book, you think? Maybe.
Correct. Yeah. I think so. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe. It was great. Maybe. And then she'll be with us a week from tonight. I cannot wait to see how she wraps silk around horsehair. Man.
Right. And even just the bit, you know, if she would show us some of how she attaches pieces together too, because it's not the same as that. She calls it applique, but it's not applique. It's not like applique that I know of applique.
So, right. Yeah. Because applique, you have a ground cloth and then you attach.
Right.
But these don't. They overlap and attach.
Right.
And the texture and depth you get out of those. Oh, it's so cool. It's just such cool stuff. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah.
So, okay. So that's coming up. So other than that, we got nothing going on. So we're in the process of getting the Mystery in Saint-Tropez underway. I got to order my stuff from Kathy at Needle in a Haystack. Now, this Mystery in Saint-Tropez with Gayanne Rogers is sponsored by Needle in a Haystack. And you go to GayanneRogers.com, and that's where you get your charts. And then you go to Needle in a Haystack, and there's a link at Gayanne's site that will get you right to the Needle in a Haystack page where Kathy has all the thread and ground cloth combinations for you. And I gotta get mine ordered. I've been kind of swamped here, but
I sent her a note. I said whenever you get your order in, just pick the one that was the least popular and send it on to me.
Yep. So and already, as much as she's tried, getting some of the threads has become an issue. So be patient with her. Get your stuff ordered. We're gonna get, as soon as we get our stuff, then we'll start doing some videos and some shows. Especially for people who have never done this kind of counted canvas work. We'll do some shows to get you started and answer questions. So just all got to get our stuff in place here. But GayAnnRogers.com is your starting spot, and it's right there on the upper right corner of GayAnn's website. Is you'll see the FiberTalk logo, and then it'll take you to the page where all the information's at, and you can order the charts and get those. And what is it? You can order the basic chart. That's all of the design work, and then you can order. There's two other ornaments. Segments you can get that are ornaments, right?
Right, right, and that's how that that works. So you can, and I think I have all, of course. You know, I'm going to make the ornaments. I actually pulled some little pieces of canvas so I could start on an ornament and just start playing with the design and playing with colors. So, yeah, the ornaments would be nice if you've never done this sort of work before, because then you can really start playing a little bit with the pieces. But, yeah. It'll be fun.
And when you order, if you've never done this before, when you order, you're going to need to get stretcher bars and tacks and size 22 needle. I think that's what, yeah. If you're doing 18-count canvas, 22 needle. But Kathy Ray at Needle and Haystack, she can help you get all the stuff you need. It's all the stuff. It's not that much. But Kathy can fix you up so that when the package comes, you're ready to go. So,
right.
Yeah. It's what she does. She'll help. So,
yes, she's very good at it too.
Yep. So order that up, and we're ordering our stuff, and we'll be underway here shortly with all of the things. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. Yep. Mm-hmm. So I got Hannah Longstreth back from the framer.
Oh, yeah.
I'll include a picture. Boy, they did a heck of a job.
She's beautiful. She's beautiful.
They really did the job. It's really, really well done. Yeah. I mean, we paid for it. It was healthy. But, you know, you get what you pay for, and it's buttoned right down. It's hanging on the wall. I'll put up a couple of pictures, but I already have on Instagram. But, yeah. I'm really proud of it, I have to say. Yeah, proud of it. Yeah.
And it looks nice in that blue wall.
Yeah, that's Marga's doing. Yep.
I was going to say, Marga picked the background of the wall.
Yep. I painted it. I can claim that. I painted it, but, you know, for all I know, I would have put up orange.
It looks great. It really looks nice. We're out. You know, the images you've shown on Instagram, it's just a beautiful piece, and it's so well done. Bravo, bravo.
Well, thanks. Normally it's whatever, but this one is very nice. It worked out really well. Really pleased with it. So, yep.
And who's the designer? Who's the designer?
Well, that's Barbara Hudson, Queenstown Sampler Designs. You can still get the chart, Hannah Longstreth. From Queenstown, and Kim will at Sassy Jacks will fix you up with a kit. It's a good one. Who was it? Well, Kim did the one where she did it on banding, where she did a vertical thing, right? Wasn't it Kim?
Right. Yeah, I think so. I was working on it on banding.
Yeah, that was a great idea. There's so much you can do with it because it's the motifs aren't little things. Each one has some size, so they really give you some substance. So you can start to, like, you can make ornaments out of them, stitching them vertically on banding, doing it the way it's designed, any number of things. It's really a neat sampler.
Right. Right. And little needle cases. I could see doing little, you know, or you know, just small little ornamentations. Like the needle case or a little pillow, like that sort of thing. I think that's fun.
Yep.
I think it's a great idea.
Okay, here's one for you. All right. Okay. Now, Krista West at Avlia just did a YouTube video.
Mm-hmm.
And several things in there, and we'll get to some of them later. But one of the things is a new fabric she has that has, it's almost like drawn thread lines to make a grid.
Yes. I just, yeah.
Go ahead.
It just was so neat. I thought, oh, that is a fantastic idea.
Yep. Here's what I thought. When I saw that, because Hannah Longstreth was on my mind, I thought you could take that fabric and motifs, either like Hannah Longstreth, Quaker samplers, mm-hmm. and put those in those squares, and then do some more drawn thread work in the grid lines.
Yes.
And you would have a pretty cool thing, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Kind of have to look and see what those things are, what the banding actually is.
Yeah.
But even if you wove just a little bit of thread in there, added some color if you like that, or just a little bit more to it. I love it. I like that idea. And I saw it and I thought, because it'd be easy to dissect and put apart. Again, a little needle book. You've got most of the stuff done on it. It would be easy to fold it under and to make a finished project. Easier to finish than starting with just a big old piece of linen.
Yeah.
But you had the idea of the Quaker motifs in there. Ooh, and the Bristol. So like if you wanted to do like a monograms or you know initials of a friend,
yep.
Take a motif from Hannah and then go grab your Bristols and pick a couple of letters and put them on the back or I don't know. Just,
yep. Yeah. See cool that cloth that I got to have some of that cloth.
Yeah.
Because now Chris is going to do. She said she in the video. She said she was going to do a design where she has something to go in each of these squares. And it looked to me like the squares were 3x3.
Yeah. That's about right.
3x3 inch. So you got some space to work with. So it'll be interesting to see what she does with the design. But I had ideas for that. Because that's another thing. Mary Corbett has, if you poke around at her site, you can find several sources for monogram initials.
Right.
Scripty fancy stuff or Victorian stuff or whatever. Scripty fancy, that's a new term I just made up.
Is that a new alphabet type?
Yeah, it's very fancy. Technical. Yeah, this is very high-end stuff. Scripty fancy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's another thing.
Yeah.
You could do.
Or okay, all right. How about even Rosewood Manor, she always has, and in the back of her chart, at the end of her chart, she has all those littles you can do, which I never do. I look at them and I say, oh, those are nice.
Yep.
But those would, I bet one of those would fit in there.
Yep. Yep, they would. But you could, you could go to Karen Kluba, Rosewood Manor. You could go to just her Quaker samplers, her right. winter and summer, spring and fall. And mm-hmm. just pull things off of there.
Right.
Right. Oh, man. And that cloth looked beautiful. It looked like it was really, of course, Krista would be really high quality cloth. Mm-hmm. She doesn't mess around with ground cloth. But, yeah, I see when she held that up in the video, I was like, oh, give me a yard of that.
Yeah. That looked really nice. And I like she had some sort of like 18 count. Wasn't Aida.
It was
different colors.
Yeah,
it was and I thought, they look like nice fabric, just nice solid, so something you could work on. Just a nice, easy fabric to work with. But I don't know. It looked interesting. Now, those looked interesting to me. I was like, what could I put on those?
Yeah, because it reminded me, it was 18 count, but it reminded me as a more densely woven Lugana.
Yes.
An even weave. It's definitely an even weave.
Right.
But the couple of colors she showed were beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Solid. Mm-hmm. She's going to do things with it, but she'll also sell the fabric separate, so you can just buy the fabric. Because where'd she say she got that? Because it was her source in Greece, and then Whoever was providing her source saw her on Instagram and contacted her directly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And someone that she got her brocades from somebody, and then they contacted her directly, I think. But it was just beautiful fabric. And I thought, that would be fun to play with. Sometimes it's, I love linen. I like stitching on linen. I like stitching on the higher counts, but that looked like nice stuff to do a small on. There's lots of smalls that would be just fun to see if they would work on those pieces. Do a thing on that. There's that turquoisey blue, and just find either, probably not a bright white, but like an ecru or one of the other whites, and do a monochromatic piece on it. Just one color on it. I think that'd be fun.
Yep. Yeah, those in that video, those were the two things I took away, was the fabric.
Mm-hmm.
Go Krista.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nice stuff.
Yep.
Nice stuff.
So go watch Avlia Krista West on YouTube, her most recent one. You'll see the fabric. It's right. Worth it. Yep.
Yep.
Okay, you finished Gayanne, back to Gayanne Rogers. You finished her Purple Mountains Majesty heart. That patriotic hearts thing. That looks really good.
It was fun. I kind of set myself the goal. I was like, okay, I need to get one of these hearts done. I have several of her hearts, and I just need to work on one. And this one had tons of tent stitch, which I think bogs people down. So I just said, okay, I'm going to do 10, 15 stitches a day, maybe a length of thread if I get really ambitious, but that's all. And then I just kept moving it on. And then I think June 25th, I was almost done with all the background. Okay. And I thought, I'm just going to push this forward. And so I just kept, I did a little more. I did like a half hour on it a day. And then it got to the fun parts where you're adding the upper layers. And I think the other thing that scares people are those trees, because those trees are really freeform. She kind of shows you where the stitches are, but then she says, and then you place the stitches where you think they should go. Something to that effect.
Oh, no.
And I know people are like, oh, I know. I can just hear everybody screaming, oh, she's not showing. She didn't graph every single stitch out. No, she didn't graph every single stitch out. That's crazy talk. But it wasn't that hard. I put in the background of the trees, and I looked at it, and I was like, this needs a little bit more of that background before I can add the upper layers. And you just look at it. You're making trees. That's all you're doing. It was a lot of fun. I highly recommend you get that yours back out and play with it again, Gary. Because once you get through that tent stitch, which is, I know it's boring. It's, there's a lot of it,
Yeah.
But you get through that, and then the rest goes fast. It's just no time at all. No time.
Yep. I should do it, because I was moving right along, but I messed up somewhere, and I was not happy with the board, how the tent stitch border was coming out. So I got to tear it out and get back to wherever it's right. And I think it was one of those how, all right, I'm doing tent stitch. I probably had something on TV and just mindlessly went,
Right. And that actually is the way you can do this, as long as you get the outlines of the mountains in the outlines. I think it's got some water in there that you've got to outline. You get those parts in, and then you're just mindlessly filling it in.
Right.
It doesn't matter that you do an outline and then fill in, because you put a layer on top. So you don't see it. You don't see your, that's outlined.
Yeah.
I did have problems with the mountain tops. It was white silk underneath, and then I had to add crinec on top. And I had a terrible time seeing my stitches.
Oh.
And I was like, what? Why? I mean, I do white on white. I think it was the lighting. My light was hitting the crinec and the silk just right, because silk has a little bit of a shine.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't see where my holes were. on the Congress block.
Yeah.
And that became a problem. And I actually had to rip stuff out. And that was
My initial thought on that is to angle the light.
Yes.
Put it off like at 45 degrees or something to create a shadow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it needed to do something because I was having an issue, and it wasn't. I think I had something dark underneath, and that wasn't helping because it was filled in. The background was filled in with the tent stitch, and I just couldn't see my holes.
Right, and I know what you mean because you're putting white on white is obvious, but it can happen with other things, and you're just not sure if you're putting it in the right spot, and it's hard to tell, and you end up undoing stitches because, oh, that wasn't the right hole. It's over here. And I know what you mean. Yeah. And so a simple little area then takes three times longer than it should have.
Right.
Yeah. Just because of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it was the shininess of the crane neck too added to the problem I was having.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Yeah. And that crane neck is, I always just struggle with Krynek, all curled up like that. Because I'm afraid to do much with it for fear I'll get it all out of whack. But there's got to be a way. Sometimes I think the best thing to do with Krynek is to cut off some lengths and put some weights on them and hang them up for a couple, 3 days. You know what I mean?
Well, you're supposed to kind of give them not a real jerk, but a gentle tug. Yeah, so you pull whatever. A short length, and then you kind of give them, you're not jerking them. You're not, giving them a real rough yank, but you give them a little gentle tug, and it takes the kinks right out. It doesn't tangle as much once you do that. It tangles a little bit, but nothing bad.
No, I did not know that. I'll have to try that.
Yeah, and it works most of the time. Not all the time, but it works most of the time.
Because I don't mind working with it. As long as you go slow and you keep your hand underneath to make sure it doesn't knot up on the back side, and
right,
you just take your time with it. It's okay, but it just some days, I just really wish it wasn't all curled up. I didn't know you could. Well, so you give it a kind of a cut your length and then give it a kind of a gentle snap and then it straightens out. Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of the curly out of it. Yeah, it works pretty well.
Well, I'll give that a try then.
Yes, it's maybe better than cutting a bunch of lengths and having them layer. Just like, why did I cut this? What's this hanging here for?
No,
I
just
thought.
And
then you throw away all your Krynek. Yeah.
Put a string up across the room and some clothespins and some, fishing weights and just let them hang there for a couple days.
Yeah, you don't have a cat.
No, I do not. No, so we wouldn't have to deal with the jumping and batting and
Yes, but you do have a grandson.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, yeah.
That could be a lot of fun.
No. Because Connor. Now here's a Connor story for you. Margaret and I play cribbage all the time, and so we have the cribbage board out because we'll just let's have a game of cribbage. And now Marga puts it away when the boys are coming over, because one of the first times that Connor saw the board, all he saw were nails in holes that needed to be pounded down. She caught him just in time. Just in time. He was going to pound those down with his hand. No.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now it just gets put away. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of those things. Yeah. Yeah. I could just.
it would wreck the board and the pegs. And the board I've had forever. It's a tournament board, and I've had it forever, and the wood pegs. And he was just about to pound them down with his hand, and she caught him.
Yeah.
Whew.
Got to keep an eye on that one.
Yeah, so you have cats, we have grandsons. Yep, that's how it works. Mm-hmm. So,
that's funny.
Yeah. Okay, so I got to get my Purple Mountains Majesty out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a, well, and again, if you all have it, it's not a hard stitch. It doesn't take too terrible long.
No.
But like I said, it was, what was nice about it is working on it a little at a time. And I could see progress if I worked on it a little at a time. So.
Yep. That's the habit I got. I just simply got to change my habits because I need to get that little at a time thing going so I get progress because I haven't stitched in many, many days. No time. Okay, so that's cool. But now, all right, so you broke your kneecap.
Yeah.
And we won't go into the fact that you won't sit down and rest it and let it heal. We're not going to discuss that today.
No, we won't discuss that.
No, we're going to let that go as you know, the elephant in the room that we're ignoring.
Yes, absolutely. Right.
But for stitching, I was most curious, what has that done to you? Because you can't sit in a chair and bend your knee. I assume it's immobilized straight out.
Correct. So I prop it up on a chair with some pillows, and I thought, oh, this is, you know, and I thought, oh, yeah, I'll sit and stitch. Well, the Warframe I have comes towards me, has legs that slip under my chair going forward. I'm making motions. You can't see me since this is a podcast. Right. Instead of coming in from the side.
Right. But I can hear the wind moving as your hands go by. So I think I'm getting a sense of what you're doing. Yes. Okay.
Yes. Thanks. So I know there's some frames that come from the side and you can stick them from either your left or your right. But mine comes in front of me. Well, that is the problem because my knee is, and my leg is sticking straight out and it's too far away. I can't reach comfortably anything sitting on that frame. I said, well, that's fine. I'll improvise. I'll move a card table in. I'll bring my frame weights out. It's still not a comfortable position to sit and stitch in on it with something that's in a big frame.
Yeah.
So I have a couple of lap frames. They're okay. I've never really been thrilled with them. I think they bend my my stretcher bars. They're fine when it's sitting in one direction, but when you turn the frame into the back, it kind of feels like the whole frame is turning wonky, and I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, okay, I need a different setup. It needs to be something else because this is going to be, I have at least another 6 weeks of this, is my guess.
Yeah, I was going to say, and since you can't seem to make yourself sit down, yeah, you've got another 6 weeks for sure, yeah. So you need something that will hold the frame over your lap, over the chair, and it can't come from the front.
Correct. And I don't know, do the Lowry frames come from the side?
You can make them do that. Now my Case Creation metal stand, that has a flat plate and that can come from the side. I would not recommend the K's Creation lap stands. Those things, they don't stay where you want them. So they're not, they're more frustration than anything. But the Lowry one, yeah, that's a flat plate. I'm pretty sure that just a flat plate that you could slide under the side of your chair. Because I was thinking for large things, that you could almost build, have Max build, like a slate frame thing that would go right over the chair that you could rest your stretcher bars on.
Right. And I thought of that, like a trestle, like two.
Yeah.
Oh, what are they called? saw horses.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you could just saw horses and lay boards across and clamp them down, and I bet you could get,
that might work. And I thought of that because my chairs have arms in them, but they're not high enough.
Yeah.
Right? You're resting your arms on them. But it's like it needs to be just a little higher, but be able to slip in front of me so I can get to stitch
on the pieces. Because basically you need something that will hold your stretcher bar frame and slide right over the chair so it can come right up to your abdomen.
Correct.
Yeah. Correct. And then you can stitch, but it's got to be high enough that you can pull thread through the bottom.
Right. And I'm not leaning forward or any of those awkward positions. And I'm just curious, because it's one of those things, there's got to be something better than what I have now. And it can't be that hard to figure out. But I'm wondering if saw horses of some sort wouldn't work. And then my husband would have them later for whatever he needed it for.
It's worth a try, but I'll tell you an experiment, because you think, build something, you got to build something. What a pain in the butt. Well, it wouldn't be that much. But I would wonder about if you have straight back chairs with some kind of a lattice back that you could put one on each side just to test it out.
Mm-hmm.
One on each side and then put a couple boards across.
Yeah.
Then you could test it and see if you like it before you actually build something.
Right. And I was even thinking, even just card tables, the little foldable things.
Yeah.
Stacking, because they're too low too, but I have books. So stacking books on them to make them high enough.
Right.
And then putting a board across and seeing how that would work.
Yeah, just to see if it works, then you can say, all right, I need one this height, mm-hmm. and I need to be able to have the boards this far apart.
Right.
And and ideally what you would do is you would have something, some kind of a leg structure, and then the boards would be clamped on with just like wood clamps or something so that you can move them up and down according to the width of your stretcher bars. Yeah.
You have space to work.
Right. But a couple card tables and some books and a couple of boards just to figure out what you need and to stitch for a couple hours to see if it works.
Right.
And then you turn to your husband or one of your sons and say, hey,
I need this. I really do.
And I need it pronto. Not one of these. I'll get to it one of these days. I need it now.
Before I start jogging around the building again.
Right, right. And you could, another thing that would work is you could do the same thing with PVC pipe and fittings.
Yeah, that's true. And I've seen those. I've seen those. And I think about it, I used to have a quilt frame made out of PVC pipe. And I actually know where that is, because I wouldn't have gotten rid of it. I wonder if I could have Max bring that up, because it's in the basement and I'm not allowed to hop my way down there.
Really?
I'm not supposed to. Anyway, I bet he would bring that up.
I ain't saying anything.
That would work, because a quilt frame, it's already you already got all the parts,
right?
And all you'd have to do is and maybe put some boards on it so it's the right width, so I can stick my stretcher bars on it, or whatever, or my scroll frame or whatever. That might work.
But I think the key is to play around with something that's makeshift and then to know what you actually need. Because, see, that's the kind of thing that even after your kneecap is healed, you may find you like it and you keep using it,
Right, Right. Well, and I know, because we've talked about, you know, using a, getting our slate frames together and
right.
doing that. And that's what they use. They use those like trestles. Right.
Correct.
And so it's like, I'm going to need one eventually anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have people.
I have, I have a people and he's been babysitting me pretty good. So. he's been very patient.
Uh-huh. Well, I would select this moment of vulnerability and say, hey, I need this. Mm-hmm. For my sanity, I need this.
For my sanity, yes. I need this for my sanity. Yep. Keep us both sane.
For Max, for your sanity and mine, I need this. Yeah. Because otherwise... Yep.
I might be hopping downstairs again. Mm-hmm. Oh, did I say again?
I have no comment whatsoever on anything you're doing with your busted kneecap and a brace that you're supposed to be resting. I have no comment, statements to make either way.
No. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any knowledge I have, I deny. I just.
Yeah. Plausible deniability.
Yeah. I'm several hundred miles away and I just, go about my day peacefully. Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome.
What I did, I'll tell you a little something I did. I don't have a busted kneecap, but my case creation stand is, it won't go high enough. And fully extended, it just doesn't go high enough. And so when I'm sitting in my chair, I end up hunching over. And after a while, that just gets old.
Right.
Plus, it's really not good for you. So what I did was I took some 2x4s and built a box. And then I went to Lowe's and got some casters. They're cheap, just casters, four screws, and they're on the thing. And then I used wood clamps to clamp the flat plate from the stand to the box. So now I have raised it up, so I have some flexibility in terms of vertical adjustment, and it's on wheels.
Oh, nice.
And that that is working really well, because it used to be that I would the flat plate would sit on the floor, and I would put a weight on it so I didn't tip it over or any number of things. But now it's on wheels, and so I can just wheel it out of the way and do something else. So it's that's worked really well. And that was just scrap 2x4s that I had in the basement, and a few screws, put them together. It's not pretty, but I'm not going to take it to a competition and show it, to the woodworkers. So who cares?
So do you still have a weight on it then to keep the?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
No, because it's clamped to this box of 2x4s that I made out of 2x4s, and that's heavy enough that keeps it down. Okay. It's it's a hair top heavy, but I'm not exactly doing pull-ups on it. So, but then Stop yeah, then the vertical pull. Then I was able to that gave me some flexibility, and I was able to adjust it up and down, and that allowed me to get the workpiece at a height that I could sit up properly in a chair and not get a sore back or neck after a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and that cost me nothing. It was scrap lumber. Yeah. Well, cost me for the casters, but they were,
They're cheap.
Made in China, $2 or whatever.
Right. Nothingness.
These days it cost me more to drive to Lowe's than it did to buy the casters. So,
I know. Yeah.
I think a little experiment there at the Ellicott household, and you could have something that would work and might be a good long-term solution. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to get my person on it.
Yeah, your person. Mm-hmm. Yep. I think so.
Yeah, it would be nice. Mm-hmm. Something to keep me sane. Something to keep me sane.
Yes. No, both of you. It's for the sanity of the household. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And for the kids who come home, and there's, you know, we don't want tension in the air. So,
they
want to come home to a happy, happy atmosphere. Mm-hmm. It's a family thing. Mm-hmm. You just work it, work it.
Just work it, work it.
And if people start walking, you just point to the brace on your leg and go, I need some help here, you know?
Yeah, I need help. I need help all the time.
Yep.
they might tie me down is what they might end up doing. So did you? all right. So did you watched all of the Krista West video?
Almost all of it. Ran out of time. Yeah.
And she talked about that H&H show.
Yes.
And I thought it was interesting that she was talking about how small businesses need to partner with other companies. I thought that was a fascinating, because I, you know, that's a concern of mine, is that with, you know, just the supply chain issues and all this, that we're going to start losing some of these small companies. And that's what needlework is. It's just a small business. I mean, when you look at all the other things in the world, they're, you know, needlework is like a drop, right? And we want to keep those businesses alive. And I just thought she had such an interesting take on that when she talked about how she met other people and was looking to partner with them. I found it fascinating listening to that part of her YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's interesting, and that really is, I think, is key for, you know, for small businesses, but in hobbies like this, is people working together. I mean, you know, we call them sponsorships, but, you know, working with Kim at Sassy Jacks, I mean, we both benefited from that, and you know, that's a partnership that has been, I think Kim would say, good for both of us, and has worked out really well. And was it Taproot was the one she's partnering with and doing more things with, and same kind of thing. Like she said, Avlia and Taproot on both ends get the get exposure that they may or may not have gotten any other way, and both come out ahead. Yeah.
Right. And then she's doing it with a like a yarn boxing company. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Which is also neat, because then you're exposing these women who do some sort of, or people who do crochet or knitting, to a simple cross stitch. And again, opening that area totally up.
Right.
To another market.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's
done that a lot. Cause I mean, look at the partnership that we've had with Krista and Avlia for how long.
Right. And
it's, she sponsors a show a month. Okay. That's one thing, but you know, how many times do we talk about her?
Right.
A lot. How many times have we shown her designs? A lot. You know, it works both ways, and and so she has supported us, and we've given her a lot of exposure. And you know, how many charts and kits has she sent for giveaways on Wednesday night? And you know, and we sit there and ogle over them and then give them away. And you know, it's just and so the word gets spread time and time again. That Avlia has these beautiful designs and beautiful fabric and so on and so forth. And everybody benefits from it. You know, it's like starting off this show talking about the cloth she has. I want some.
Right. <You know? laughs> Yeah. Yeah.
Ordering up.
and I think too, you know, when people are open to that. Again, we can, Beth Seal, you talked to her the other day, and she was talking about her collaboration with a couple of the other designers.
Yep.
Again, you know, maybe you're not exposed to some of those designers. Maybe it's something, and it, so it gives you exposure to them too. So it's a great, you know, when we do that, when people are willing to collaborate like that, it just opens up the business for everybody. And I just think that's great.
Yeah. The mentality of putting up a brick wall around your operation, whatever it is, and saying no one in, no one out, here I have something to sell. You know, yeah, maybe that works for a while, but if you really want to expand and grow, then it's all right. How am I going to connect with other people so that we can both benefit and grow
and benefit the hobby. We don't want this to kind of what we love to die out. We want more people exposed to it, more people interested in stitching, you know. Krista's designs aren't your thing, but you learn about, you know, learn about cross stitch through her, and then you're like, oh, then it opens a whole nother world. Because to me, she's one of those people who she wants this hobby to keep going. I mean, she really is very much sees all the benefits of it.
Yeah.
And it's just fun.
Right. Well, you know, it's the old word of mouth thing, but I mean, yeah, if her designs are not your thing, I guarantee you the cloth we were talking about is your thing.
Right.
I guarantee you that.
Right. And the thing is, I don't know. I think her designs across the board, she has so many. That was the other thing that fascinated me. She talked about that she's going to release 10 new embroidery designs. We're not just cross stitch. She's got on the market to do 10 new, what I would call surface embroidery designs. And I think that's great because her designs of those are fantastic. They're not the cutesy, I don't know, you know, little girl or I don't know. I can't think of, I can see an image of them, but, and those are nice. They're fun, but maybe you want something a little bit more sophisticated. She offers those. She offers those.
Yep. Yeah. Her stuff, you know, she had a picture up the other day. Here we are. All right. Talking about Krista West. That's okay. But she had a picture up the other day of something she had stitched that she had a plate or a bowl or something on it. And my initial reaction was, ooh, don't put anything on that. But then I have to remember, just about everything she does is intended to be used.
Yes.
Not hung on the wall, not, you know, put in a frame or put in a box or under glass. It's made to be used. Put on the table, put stuff on top of it, put on a end table, put a plant or a lamp on it. It's a mental thing for me. You know, needlework, don't touch it, don't put anything on it. But, you know, that's not what she does. And it comes from that culture in the Mediterranean and Greek where, you know, these things are to be used. And then you wash them and use them again. Yeah.
Right. And there's something, it makes it more homey, I think, you know, to have those sort of things that you've stitched, that you have around, those textiles on the table. I don't know. I agree with her, but I'm a tactile person. I like to be able to touch things.
Yeah.
So having those available, and she has such beautiful designs. Yeah.
Yeah.
That are made for
that. Can you imagine her house? I bet her house is just stunning.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Needlework everywhere. You know that on the dining room table, there's a table runner all the time.
Right. Right. And her pillows and making pillows. And she even said she makes pillows that she expects people to use. They're not there for decoration, you know, which is nice because then there's joy in stitching, but then you make it and you're like, okay, now what do I do with it? Yeah. We have a, you know, you might have a box of them in the basement or something, but it's like, it's nice to enjoy them, to have them out, people to see, people to enjoy looking at the beauty of them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But it's hard. It's hard.
You know,
you got to get over that hump. Now these are usable and they're washable.
Washable. Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, I bet she should do a tour because they, you know, that was a old house they completely redid. I bet a tour of that place is, yeah.
I think she's still working on it though, so okay. Maybe when she's done.
Someday we'll have a tour.
Yes, a Krista tour.
Yeah.
That'd be fabulous.
I'll tell you, I just want to, in her basement there where she makes all of her vestments and things, when she does those videos and all the brocade stuff in the background.
Yes.
Holy smokes.
I know.
Holy smokes.
I know. Beautiful stuff.
You know, all imported from Greece, and you know, all the best of the business, and oh man, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to her, it's just stuff that I make things out of, but
yeah, they're beautiful.
Yeah, she's. I bet that place when they're in full church vestment, altar cloth mode. I bet that thing is something to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Sewing machines and. Scissors and cutting. Yeah. And, I bet it's something. Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
And choosing the right fabrics to go together. I think that, yeah.
Oh, how yeah. She does that. And all the trim work, you know, all the, oh, geez. Yeah. It would be so much fun to watch that happen.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. From people like her and whoever works with her who, you know exactly what they're doing, and it's just go. We got to get this done. And yeah. It'll be fun. Yep. So, all right. So while you're stitching, what are we doing? I mean, now you can't, you're immobile.
Right.
You're probably really tired of YouTube.
I am. I've reached the end of YouTube. I actually, you know, there's a few people I watch and I'm like, okay, yeah, that's fine. But I find that if I sit and just, and listening to it or watching it, it makes me want to get up and go do something. So I'm like, okay, I've got to turn this off. I'm tired of watching other people show their stuff. I'm like, okay, I'm done. So I've been listening to music or an audiobook or nothing. I've started just turning everything off and just stitching, which is good. I think sometimes we tend to multitask too much, or at least I do. And I think, you know what? Quiet's good.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for silence. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I requested from my boys, I said, okay, I need some background guitar music. Go name something. And so they sent me to two artists. They're much more musically inclined than I am. And so they sent me a couple of artists for me to listen to, and which was kind of funny, but getting their taste. And they also ordered books for me. My oldest is into science fiction and fantasy. And I said, okay, I need a book to read. He goes, ooh, okay. And so he ordered a couple of books. And I do have the world's best library. They delivered them to my door.
No.
Yes.
You absolutely win on that library thing. I'm telling you.
Yeah. And it's not just me. They we have elderly people living in the area, and they said schedule an appointment. If you can't come in, we will pick books and draw and, you know, bring them to you. Not just every day, not randomly, but you know, right. If you need a book, we'll bring it to you.
Man, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, you got me doing the library thing.
I did.
You did. Because I have these bone conduction headphones I've talked about that allow me to listen to things while I'm riding my bike. And because I am absolutely against putting earphones or anything in your ears when you're riding your bike on the road, because you can't hear. And you need to hear the cars coming by. So these things, you can hear everything and still hear whatever you're listening to. And then I got a new tail light for my bike that has radar on it, has a radar device in it. So now I get on my my head unit, my Garmin head unit, I know when cars are coming. So it's perfect. It's just perfect. But so I thought, all right, I'm going to listen to music. And I'm not real good at listening to music when I'm writing because, you know, I want to get the full range of the sound, you know, and you can't get that. So, all right, I'm going to try audiobooks. So then I immediately went to audiobooks and then Barnes and Noble, and I bought a couple books. And within 4 or 5 days, you know, I mean, I'm out for several hours, 4 or 5 days, I was through an entire book. Yeah, well, this at 15, 20 bucks a crack, this cannot continue, you know, if I'm going to eat them up like that. And then it was Beth Library. So yes. I went and got a library card at our local library, as opposed to one that was across the state. By golly, they have an app. They have an app.
Yes.
And I just download books. And it is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm eating them up. I'm eating them up.
That's the one thing about the local libraries. Ours has the big one, which is Libby, I think is the one they subscribe to.
That's the one we have. And, yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And there's a huge range of books on audio that way. And then there's something else they do, which is called Canopy, which if you're into, like independent movies, some of the indie movies, they offer those for free. You can only check out so many at a time.
Right.
And I think you've got a monthly limit or something. I've never hit it, but you know, if you like documentaries, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's a great place to go.
Hmm.
And they've got a few, do they have some audio on there? I don't think so. I think they're all video. But yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I'll have to check that out. Cause yeah, we use the Libby thing here too. Yeah. I've rifled through there's some characters series books, you know, Murder, Mayhem, Spies, that kind of thing.
Perfect.
Love it. And now I'm all caught up on my Harry Bosch. One of my all-time favorites. I'm all caught up on Gabriel Alon, Daniel Silva's character. He's the head of the Israeli CIA spy network. I hadn't read one in several years. I just, you know, life has just not been kind of in terms of just idle time to sit around and read books. And so I started listening, saying I'm rifling through these things, and I'm down to the last Gabriel Alon book, and then I'm caught up. And so I go to download it. It won't be out for like 2 months.
You gotta be kidding me.
And then, all right, then put me on the list. Well, I'm way down on the list. Man, that list is healthy. People waiting for it. So I went on to something else, that another series that I stopped reading long ago. And but man, it's fantastic. Download that thing. And do you want to return it? You're returning this early. Yeah, I'm returning it early. Give me another one. Let's go. Yeah.
Right. And that's the other thing. If you keep things longer, then they automatically return. You don't have to worry about forgetting to return it. They just take it right off your desk. You're done. So, and sometimes they won't let you renew. That was the only thing. If you don't do them as quickly as you do, then you're kind of stuck.
Yeah.
They won't let, maybe sometimes you can't renew it because someone else has got it on their list they want. But other than that, it's great. I was reading a book that way. Something about Isabella of Spain. And just because I just needed something to read. And it was there. So yeah, I highly recommend getting the app. Contacting your local library.
Your tax dollars at work, I'll tell you. Yeah, so I'd set up an audiobook membership at Barnes & Noble. Canceled that sucker. Nope. No, thank you. I don't need to give you $15. Because I thought it was, see, for me, I thought it was going to be $15 a month, and then I could get audiobooks.
Oh.
I'm a member of the club. No, I can get one audiobook for the $15, and then I have to pay for every other one. Well, wait a minute. No.
That's not really a good membership.
How's that a deal? I'm not, and I was paying full price for those things. So yeah, that had to come to an end.
Yeah.
But pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I've been really impressed, and it works slick. That app is great. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just nice to have something else to do or something else, for me while I'm stitching, a nice audiobook to listen to and, maybe go or a book to read because they do have them on there too.
Yeah. Yep.
Not a huge section, but.
So I'm now in the Beth Ellicott library camp. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Except I have learned that riding downhill, when I go downhill, when I get to the top of a hill, I do have to stop the book because I can't hear it all the way down. Wind's a little stiff. So, but then painful uphill rides, at least I got something to take my mind off the fact that my legs are screaming at me. So,
yeah, see?
We'll take that. Yep.
Win-win.
Yep. So that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. I've advanced here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good. Good. Using your library. That's excellent. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
All right. That's enough.
All right.
I think so. Robin tonight with us to gape and awe and ogle her work. And then Leslie on Sunday, and then Leslie with us next Wednesday. And order that book, Threads of Awakening, pre-order, because it is it's quite a story. Quite a story. Yeah. And then Needle in a Haystack and Gay Ann Rogers for Mystery in Saint-Tropez. Give it a try. If you've never done Khan of Canvas work, this is a good way to give it a try and get some exposure to something new. And we'll be here to help you along, and Gayanne will help you along, and Kathy, you won't be out on your own trying to figure it out, and it's not that hard anyway. But join us for that. Get your materials, and we'll be, as soon as we get ours, we'll be underway here.
Excellent. I need something to do.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to rest that leg or...
they're going to tie me down.
Fall is going to come and you're still going to be in that thing.
No.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Doctor's going to go, I don't understand why this isn't healing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Give him Max's number. Max will tell him why. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. We're out of here. Right. Thanks for listening.
Bye.